Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Crossroads, good to be with you today. We're starting off a new series, and if you've been around Crossroads at all for a length of time, you know that in our summer we switch gears. This is going to be our 11th summer where we just sort of do a deep dive into a book study, and we're picking up where we left off last year. We did first part of Hebrews. We're going to try to wrap up Hebrews this summer. It's going to be for 10 weeks. Now, originally it was 14 weeks of Hebrews, and when I presented the 2023 preaching calendar to the teaching team, they said 14 weeks is just too much. So I got it down to 10. So it's going to be 10 weeks in the book of Hebrews. And I would encourage you to read along in your e-news. There's a reading plan. And what works out really well, my suggestion would be read the passage before, listen to the message, and then read the passage again. It really helps to get the book, what it's about, the big ideas into your mind, because Hebrews can be a difficult book to work through. There are going to be times where you're going to be reading it and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this? And you're not alone. This past week, one of the teaching teams said, I read my passage and I'm like, whoa, what am I supposed to do with that? And it can be tough to work through and figure out. And then there's a very clear reason for why Hebrews is a bit of a more difficult book for us to work through. And the reason is simply this. It wasn't written for you and I. It was written for a very specific audience. It was written for Jewish Jesus followers, people who had grown up in the Old Covenant, people who grew up in the temple system of worship, and then made a decision to follow Jesus. So again and again, the author, the preacher of Hebrews, will reference things that you and I don't know because we didn't grow up that way. But for his audience, it all made sense to them. Because if you grew up Jewish, if that was your place in the Old Covenant, by the time you were 10 years old, you had already memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. Now, I don't know about you. I've not memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. As a matter of fact, there are certain books that we don't read on a very regular basis, but for the audience of the book of Hebrews, man, they had it all down. They knew it. They memorized it. They lived it. And most likely you and I, you're not Jewish, you know. You did not grow up in a sacrificial temple system of worship to be made right with God. You didn't participate in all of the food do's and don'ts, all of the religious festivals, all the ways, all the customs. And the way I would like to say it is like this. If you're a guy and you're sitting here today and you're circumcised, it's probably not because you grew up as a Jew. The things were different for these people. They understood it. They lived the sacrificial system because they were well in the Old Covenant until they decided to follow Jesus and enter into the new covenant. So there'll be times where you're going to read through Hebrews, you're going to be like, I just don't get it. And that's all right. You're not alone. New Testament commentator says it like this. He says, among the books of the New Testament, the epistle to the Hebrews stands out as both strange and fascinating, unique in style and content. As a piece of literature, it is simply unlike any of the other epistles. Though some of its phrases are among the best known and most often quoted passages in the New Testament, many contemporary Christians are largely unacquainted with the book as a whole, finding themselves lost in its serpentine passageways and elaborate theological arguments. So throughout the summer, we will try to not get lost. We'll try to not major on the minors. And when we get confused, we'll acknowledge that we're not part of that club. We did not grow up in the Old Testament. We are not Jewish. But we're going to lean into this Jesus-saturated book of the Bible that paints us this beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ was all about and all that he has done for us. And when we don't get it, when it's difficult in our first readings, we're going to embrace the challenge and we're going to lean in and try to figure out how it applies to our life today, the impact it has on how we follow Jesus today. And if you want a bit more knowledge on the background on the book of Hebrews, just go back in time. Go on our sermon archive page. Go back to June 19th, 2022. The first half of that message is all about what we do know about Hebrews and all that we don't know about Hebrews. It'll give you the background in that place. So let's start off where we left off last summer. Last summer, we covered the first 8 chapters of the book of Hebrews. So we're going to be in chapter 9 today. And chapter 9, you start to read through that, and it feels like there's a building program going on. It's all of these details about the temple and how it was built and what went where and all the rituals that went with it. Perhaps you know that Church Board in 2022 was a year of strategic planning that led to them asking the question, what would it look like for us to build a building where we have a full-time worship, an auditorium that we're no longer meeting in a gym? So 2023 has been all about looking to those details of what that would look like. What are some of the essential things we would love to have? What are some things we would hope to have? What are we willing to give up? And just this past month, in May, when the board met, we finally brought out those old plans, those nearly 20-year-old plans, because previous generation of leaders of this church, they had bought land and they invested money and they drew up plans because they never intended for this to be our long-term home. They never intended for us to always be in a gym worshiping together, set up and tear down every week. So began to look at those detailed plans and say, you know, what needs to change based on the past 20 years? And can we solve some of our major facility problems without creating more facility problems? But the whole idea when we get to Hebrews 9, and it goes into the details about the temple, it was not meant to be a forever worship space. It wasn't supposed to be the one place long-term forever where people came to be made right with God. It had a expiration date. It had a limited shelf life. And whenever you start to look into the Old Testament and you want to find out more about the tabernacle and all the systems to go with it, you get a lot of detail. You can find throughout the Old Testament 50 chapters, just about 50 chapters that deal with the temple, that deal with how it should be constructed in detail, what gets placed where in detail, how the priests led worship and the sacrificial system in detail, all the customs, all the regulations, all the rituals. 50 chapters of detail. Now, compared to that, to what? We get 2 chapters on creation. That's big picture. 2 chapters on creation, 50 chapters on the tabernacle. And what I want to do, how I want to start, is I want to find out how many of you just love the details. How many of you are detail picture? You need more than the big picture. So I'm going to give you a scenario, and there are 2 possible answers, and it's an all skate. So I'd love for everyone to participate. I'll tell you the questions, then we'll come back and we'll vote. Here's the situation. You are building a house from scratch. Brand new house, and it's being constructed, the plans are being developed, and the contractor, the builder, comes to you, and he says, where would you like the electrical outlets? Now, here's your first option. How many of you, man, you're going to dedicate like hours to this. You're going to figure out in each and every room how many electrical outlets there should be and where they should go. That's option number 1. And how many of you more option 2? You're the builder. Put the electrical outlets where people normally put the electrical outlets. So those are your 2 choices, right? How many of you are going to be detail? You're going to figure out where every electrical outlet goes. Just raise your hands. Just own it. You're the detail people, right? Now, the rest of you, that sounds so incredibly painful. How many of you are vote number 2? Just where most people put them, right? Just you do it. You're the professional. See, we're different. Some of you love details and others of you, not so much. But man, if you want details on the tabernacle, there are tons of details. And the original audience of the book of Hebrews, they were familiar with all the details. They had it memorized. They grew up in that system. So let's start off in Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to go to verse 1. The preacher, the author, he says, that first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. And that gives the details. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. But then there was a curtain. And behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place. And none of this information was new to the original readers of Hebrews. They knew it all. They experienced it all. They memorized it all. This is their life. They are comfortable with this. And as you continue to work your way through chapter 9, as you read through that this week, you're going to get more and more details about the tabernacle. What all went in what room. You're going to get to the most holy place, and you're going to read about something that looks like this. Who knows what goes in the most holy room? Who knows what this is? Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, see, you get that. Some of you have saw the documentary film, Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And Indiana Jones, an archaeologist with a cool hat and really wickedly cool whip skills. He's up against the Nazis, and they're looking for the long-lost covenant. And you can read through more of chapter 9, or you can go back into those 50 chapters of detail in the Old Testament, and you can see if the movie producers got it right. If this is what the ark was supposed to really look like or not, you can figure that out, because that level of detail is listed all throughout Scripture. But if you're a part of the original covenant, part of the old covenant, you knew it. You knew what went where. You knew the tabernacle system. You understood the layout. And the author, the preacher, is talking to this audience. He's like, hey guys, the first covenant, it was all about rules and regulations here on earth. That's what it was all about. There was a process and there was a reason for everything that was done in detail, the way that you were made right with your heavenly Father, the way that you were made right with the creator of the universe. And there was high levels of symbolism in all of those details, all the details of the temple and the sacrificial system. And the preacher talks about some of the essential rules in the tabernacle. And once again, the audience knows all of this. But let's go to verse 6. When all these things in the tabernacle were in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. Did you catch that phrase? Sins committed in ignorance. Not sin intentionally done. Not stuff that was done that the people knew were wrong. Sins committed in ignorance. Have you ever broken any rules, or have you ever sinned and it's a sin or a rule breaking of ignorance? The one thing that always comes to mind, it was 16 years ago, and we were just starting our big out west trip, and we're going to Chicago. We're outside, and we're going to get on the train, take the train into the city. And I can't remember why, but we found ourselves on the wrong side of the tracks. And here came our train, so we, as a mom and dad and two much younger kids, ran across the track, and we boarded the train. An all. Encountered just a female passenger, that she's like, do you know what you just did? It is illegal for a reason. And I mean, she was stern and she went at it. I am pretty sure that she was like a district attorney or a judge. And if she could just bring a jury together there on the train, she was just going to convict me. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I did not know that that was wrong, that that was illegal. She says, it doesn't matter that you didn't know. It doesn't matter. And you know, when you're being talked down to, it's not always the most fun thing, right? But when you're being talked down to and you know that you are in the wrong, it's clear that, you know, you have messed up. It might have been a sin of ignorance, and I sinned against Chicago, right? And I couldn't do anything in that moment to atone for my sins. But in the old covenant, there was a system for that. When you committed sins of ignorance, it happened, and there was a procedure that could happen, and once a year that only the high priest, he would enter into that place, the most holy of holies. If you want to see the tabernacle layout, you might be a little bit familiar with this. This is how it was laid out. What all, and there's details of what happened where, but then you get to this thick curtain. And this is the place that only the high priest, and only after a cleansing ceremony, and only after taking certain blood sacrifices and certain rituals, and only once a year could he enter the most holy of holies to make and cover up his sin and all the sins of God's people, those sins of ignorance. That was the system. That is how people were made right with God. And don't raise your hand for this one. How many of you have heard that that priest, the high priest, going back there once a year, had a rope tied to him? A rope tied to his ankle or a rope tied around his waist? And the reason being that when he was in the presence of the most holy God, and even with all the smoke and all the incense that was being burned, if he just killed over because he couldn't handle that level of presence, there was a rope so they could pull him back out. Now, if you ever heard that before, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's a myth. It's a legend. Nowhere in scripture is that supported. Nowhere in supporting documents of that time period is that supported. It's just a myth or a legend that got started. There's nothing that wants to firm that up. But as this system was in place, and it was a way to make things right, to atone for the sins, the author, the preacher, for where he's going to his Hebrew audience, he goes on, it's sort of a, that was then, this is now. It's a, that was then, this is now. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. For that old system, that old covenant, that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies. Physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. Only until a better system could be established. Where the author, the preacher is going, where the case they're building, that is the old covenant. And it had its limitations. That was the old covenant. And for generations, it worked. It was a system designed by God in detail. But it was a system that was always designed to have a limited shelf life, to have an expiration date. And both you and your ancestors, you were longing for the day. You were waiting for the day when the Messiah would come and put in place a better system. And now that you've found Jesus, don't go back. Don't go back to what you've always known. Just because it's comfortable, just because of peer pressure, don't go back. And the problem the author is addressing throughout the book of Hebrews is that there are people that are just giving up. There are Jewish Jesus followers that are leaving the way of Jesus and going back to what they always knew, going back to what was always comfortable, going up to everything that they had experienced. They're going back to the old covenant. And the other problem that the author is addressing is that there are Jewish Jesus followers that they're mixing together the new covenant and the old covenant. It's like, yes, I'm a Jesus follower, but I'm going to still continue to do these things in the old covenant. And whenever you do that, it always becomes not Jesus only, but it's Jesus plus. It's all the things of the new covenant. It's all the things of Jesus, but it's Jesus plus because I'm going to pull in other things as well. And there's two primary driving themes throughout the book of Hebrews. One of them is that Jesus is greater than. And man, it comes through again and again and again. Our first 8 chapters, we covered a ton of those things. Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Abraham. Jesus is greater than all the high priests. Jesus is greater than Joshua. Jesus' ministry is greater than the old covenant. Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone that right now where they're at in life? They just need to be reminded that Jesus is greater than. And you just fill in that blank. Do you know anyone for what they're going through? Maybe it's in their relationships. Maybe it's at their school or their workplace, their family, their health crisis, their financial crisis. Do you have anyone in your life, they just need to be reminded that Jesus is greater than whatever they are dealing with, whatever they are going through. And then that second theme, that's scattered throughout the book of Hebrews that we'll get into more and more this summer, is don't lose what you got by turning away from Jesus. Don't lose what you got by turning away from Jesus. The author, the preacher, he's addressing a very real and urgent pastoral problem. His congregation, man, they are exhausted. They're tired of serving the world. They're tired of the spiritual struggle. They're tired of Jewish friends and family telling them that they need to come back to tabernacle worship. They're losing their confidence. And the threat is that they're worn down and worn out. The issue is that many are drifting away, tired of walking the walk. Many of them are considering taking a walk and leaving the Jesus community and falling away from the faith. Do you know anyone? Is there anyone in your life that needs to be reminded? Come on, don't lose what you got. Don't give up. Don't turn away from Jesus and his bride. Don't lose what you have. Anyone that needs an encouragement to stay in the way of Jesus. That's exactly what the author, the preacher is doing. He's like, I know it's been tough. I know there are struggles. I know that there is so much external pressure. But don't give up. Don't lose your way. Don't stop following Jesus. Because walking the way of Jesus is not always easy, but it is always worth the journey. And the author continues, and we'll go down to verse 11. And he says, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. And with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. The old covenant, the old way, this earthly system, man, it had a purpose and it has served its purpose. All the rituals, all the regulations, all the sacrificial system, it had its time, it had its place. But all that's in the rear view mirror now. Now we have this perfect sacrifice once and for all time. This better system that has been established, and man, it is going to be good forever. The sacrifice that doesn't need repeated year in and year out by just that one person. The sacrifice, this atonement, this redemption, this restoration that can't be taken away from you. You're secure. And what Jesus did not have any expiration date applied to it. Now, if you're like most people, you tend to like new and improved. Your toothpaste, they have a new and improved version. You're happy for that. You have found yourself in this situation before. You are buying a new phone when your old phone does everything you want it to. But the new phone, it's new and improved, right? constantly. New and improved has always been a beautiful marketing strategy that works on most of us. Go back some decades, Tylenol had some really bad press. There were some of these things that came out, the harm or the damage that Tylenol could do to you and your body. And it was like front page news, and it seemed constant. And the way that Tylenol recovered, they didn't change the name. That's what some companies would do, right? They came out with new and improved Tylenol. That's how they recovered. Now imagine, just imagine, if this new improved Tylenol, this is what it could do. When you have a headache, you take Tylenol, and not only does your headache go away, all your future headaches are gone as well. It's once and done. You never have to take it again. If that was the case, most of you, if not all of you, would be saying, man, Tylenol is the greatest. Tylenol is the best. It is the best pain reliever. Like, you would be singing its praises. And that's just for a headache problem. You and I don't have just a headache problem. We have a sin problem. And Jesus sacrificed once and done. Once and done. For all of time. We could get excited about a new improved Tylenol that takes away our headaches forever. How much more could we get excited about Jesus who solves our sin problem once and done? Drop down to verse 15. The author, the preacher, continues. He says, that is why Jesus is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Jesus is greater than the old covenant. Jesus fulfills the old covenant, and he establishes a new covenant. I think one of the practical theologies, one of the inerrancies that our time of Jesus followers seems to struggle with so much comes to this whole idea of trying to live in both covenants. It's, yeah, I'm a Jesus follower, but I still, there's some parts of the old covenant that I like. And whenever we do that, it is always Jesus plus, not Jesus only. And here's what it would look like for some of us, right? You'd be like, I'm a Jesus follower, but I'm going to still follow some of the old covenant stuff. Now let's be clear. There's some stuff I'm not going to follow. Not all those food regulations. I mean, come on, please. Don't try to take that bacon cheeseburger out of my hand. I mean, a Shake Shack just opened in my town, for goodness sake. You wouldn't do that. And not that stuff about stoning people that I catch in sin. I don't think I want that role. I don't want to be judge, jury, and executioner. And now, please, not all that animal and blood and sacrifice stuff. I have a weak stomach, and killing a pigeon, let alone a goat or a bull and all that kind of thing, that's not me. And let's be clear. That stuff on, you know, all the beard regulations that are part of the old covenant. No. I'm working a look here. Let's not mess with that. But Jesus plus the parts of the old covenant that I like and that I agree with, especially when they help to support something that I would love to see happen or something that I am in agreement with, and sure, then I'm going to be all in Jesus plus the new covenant and the old covenant. If I want to support war and violence, man, I have to pull from the old covenant. If I want to talk about Christian nationalism, I have to pull from the old covenant. Let's get close to home. If I want my enemies to get what they deserve, I have to pull from the old covenant. If I want to be one of those people that blames a hurricane or a drought or whatever on God, I need to pull from the old covenant. If I want to be a preacher that just makes everybody happy and I want to preach the prosperity gospel, health and wealth gospel, I need to pull from the old covenant. And living Jesus plus, living new covenant plus, living Jesus plus, it can be done with the best of intentions, but it always has the same consequences. It leads to a messed up understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. It leads to people being repelled to the bride of Christ, the church, when they should be drawn to the bride the same way that they are drawn to Jesus. Jesus plus always harms the reputation of the bride of Christ and the mission given to us by Jesus Christ himself. Now, I'm out of time, and I got a lot of scripture to cover yet. So, Erica, work with me. We're going to go to Hebrews 10, verse 9. We're just going to go to the summary, because this theme continues. It continues throughout all of chapter 9 and well into chapter 10. The author, the preacher, is a great summary. Jesus cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. And the good news is that Jesus is greater than sin. So once and done, it's for all of time. When you and I choose to follow Jesus, it's not like I have to go back and confess and just receive Christ, you know, every year. It's once and done for all of our past sin problems, our current sin problems, and all of our future sin problems. As we walk and we follow Jesus, and we live in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father and with one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Hebrews. And while it can be difficult to navigate and understand, I'm just praying, Holy Spirit, that you'd give us insight. Insight in our personal reading, insight as we listen and preach a sermon, that you'd show us how this is so incredibly real and practical today, that we would go through the book of Hebrews and have a much more accurate theology of who Jesus is, the life that he has created us to live, and what it looks like to be fully in and under the blood of Jesus Christ, that new covenant, that once and done sacrifice for all of time. We love you, Father. We commit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org. Thank you.